Welcome to the World Service Conference 2020 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Erin, and I am a compulsive debtor. The topic for this workshop is finding your higher power. Please, let's give a warm welcome for the first speaker, which will be Benjamin.
Oh, wow. Well, good afternoon. My name is Benjamin, and I'm a gratefully recovering family member of DA. And I was very DA since like the spring of 2000, I estimate. And it's what brought me here was student loans. However, that's how I've got here. That's long how I've been here. I've been solvent since over 3 years now, this last time around. But I have like my early DA days were in Manhattan, and that's, and my home meeting was the self-employed meeting on Friday night, and it's not anymore, but I now I'm in Brooklyn. But higher power. The thing about this whole higher power business is this was my first 12-step experience, DA. And I remembered reading, as I read in the big book, and then also when I started reading about in the 12 and 12, that this idea, I mean, when they got to step three, but they started talking about people who had no, the idea that someone wouldn't have a sense of it to be atheist or not have any spiritual center or avenue to hold on to. And for me, it's I have always had I grew up rather with an unconventional spiritual center, but definitely there nonetheless. I used to call it my gut, but it's I call it Mother Father God, or Mother God these days, because I know that, those in like Sunday school or whatever, they had these, Protestant land, they had these little portraits of Jesus. I think that's the most popular print in the world ever sold. And it's a picture of this blonde, blue-eyed Jesus. And there's this, and there's something about that was always, even at that young, that just didn't make sense. So A, to make him a male, to whiting, making him Caucasian male or whatever. The idea of spirituality for me was far more inclusive than that, and more ethereal. So when it talks about, and I guess really the point to this and why I was even asked to do this, is that the third step to me was when I knew that I was home free. I mean, home free meaning that I was home. I'm still here, and I've just learned how to dance well with my challenges as opposed to fight them and run away. But the idea that God will remove all these defects of character. So that was the idea of turning stuff over, to take actions and turning them over, has been very useful, because a lot of times when you're in the process of changing, and changing, having to take actions, especially now under these circumstances, people are, having to change how they make work or how they make their living, doing what they do. And my thing is that you are telling the universe yes when you take an action. You're saying yes to the universe. And the idea of I'm very conscientious about language and semantics. I mean, instead of I have to, it's no, you will do, I want to. It's an act as if, and that's not magical to me. That's the way it always is. And then also to realize as long as I have, but I mean, be grateful for knowing the fact that it's a circuit. We are not the boss. We are doing this in tandem with our universe, with Mother, Father, with Mother God, or whatever. It's a circuit.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And this, I couldn't be here. What has happened to me in my life and what I've witnessed in other people's lives, it's Mother God is all up in it. It's all about Mother God. But this idea, I was speaking to someone, I was doing a PRG with someone, and that's their big sticking point is to make this action and to let go of it and not be attached to the outcome. And so I told him and what has become me, it's to take the action. The action is the first thing, number one. But then once it's done, that's all I have to do. I just take it and I let go of it after that and move on. Because I am not in charge. And the thing is, that's the other part of our circuit here. We're not the only one, you know, sharing this or processing it. It may take us a while to catch up with what Mother God knows best for us, but also being willing to step out in a different way and be uncomfortable, but you do it anyway. And our higher power shows up. There are so many stories of that, you know, the polish here and shine there. And that's totally an act of higher power and faith when you do that. Someone who's, you know, I've been reduced to having to give, I can't, you know, gig anymore on Broadway. So I'm reduced to piano lessons. And that's okay, because this person stepped into it, and now this person has become over time. I mean, this is just pre-pandemic. It's just an example of, of someone shifting and having to change their, and this has happened to this person, but they're having to go back to that. And it's like, oh my God, I haven't done this before. And it's a question of what do you need to do? What are our actions? And he created, he had a brochure and stuff. He had all his prep done. And this guy's really the real deal. And so he had a hard time getting his head around, just put it out there. Oh, but is Monday a better day to put something out, or is Tuesday? And it's like, no. You just tell the universe you're going to put this out here. Let go of the perfectionism. Because this isn't about perfect. It's about putting your faith out. You're taking an action. You've been stewing in this and struggling with this. You've devised an action. So you've gotten yourself ready for this. So let it go and do it. And then you'll respond. You will respond to whatever comes back to you out of that. You have whatever, everything you need to do now is done. So let it go. And you will alter it and change things as you get responses, you get feedback. But inevitably, what has happened originally with this person a long time ago when I first knew them is that they were they weren't making their money as a musician, freelance. I mean, as a musician yet, and so they started teaching very grudgingly.
1 minute.
And then eventually this practice became huge. I mean, and he actually had to retire students. I mean, to, you know, sell off some of his students when he got his gig, I mean, his union gig. And it was just so heartening, because one thing led to the other. He didn't sit there and say, I'm not doing anything unless I'm in a pit, unless I'm a pit musician in a show on Broadway, I'm not doing this. And it's like, well, no, well, what are you going to do in the meantime? You need money. And so I am willing to do whatever it takes to have money, to make money, to keep myself solvent.
Time.
And self-reliant. And through his willingness to polish, and now he's enjoying the shine. And now from another different phase of his evolution. But again, it's something that you, these things don't get done without our higher power, whoever or whoever that may be to us or whatever it may be to us. But I'm very grateful for mine, and I am looking forward to hearing our other sharers here. And so thank you very much for being here and for listening.
Thank you so much, Benjamin. Thank you. Our next speaker is Annie. Would you like to go?
Sure. Thank you for your service. Thank you, Benjamin, for your service. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm Annie. I am a compulsive debtor, and I'm grateful for DA. I would love to just start with a breath. Feel free to join me just to get centered with my higher power. So I'm just going to breathe in and exhale. So I'm just going to read the 12th step and what a spiritual awakening says in the AA Big Book, because that is the basis of my DA program today. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of taking all these steps we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I say that because it took me doing all 12 steps, not just 1, 2, and 3, or money management or something like that, to really get in touch with my higher power and to feel that spiritual awakening. The definition of the spiritual awakening, as found in the 4th edition of the AA Big Book on page 567, or it's also the second appendix, sometimes I get those tiny big books, is the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. And if I break down personality change and I substitute alcoholism for any ism, including debting, it's I think, I feel, I behave and act, and I believe in a different way than if I did not have this program. So before recovery, I'd be like, okay, where am I going to get my next fix? All right, it's okay to use this credit card because I get rewards points and, you know, that's sustainable. And that sort of insanity, despite having numerous collection agencies calling me. I mean, I just can't tell you the, I think my darkest days as a debtor were just sincerely being suicidal around the amount of debt, around the unmanageability of my life that had to do with debt and seemingly just not. My relationships were completely shot. But today I'm solvent since May of 2018. Unbelievably, I'm paying solvently, sustainably for my PhD program. I got married solvently. All just these beautiful, wonderful miracles in my life, right, have happened beyond my wildest dreams because of this program. And for me, I couldn't spiritually bypass. So even writing down my numbers each day, or just writing down that little booklet before I had a smartphone 10 years ago. What I spent and what I earned was a spiritual act of surrender that got me closer and closer to my higher power. Today, it's how can I be of service, not what am I going to get from this? Or, you know, all right, I think I can get another student loan. So part of my debting that I found through steps 4 through 9, especially, and really going deep in my inventory, was a lot of my debting behavior was the root was in, I didn't feel like I was good enough. And a lot of ways that I thought I could be good enough, yet it was never enough, was going through school, getting this certification, just compulsively paying for postgraduate programs. That's just my manifestation and form. Just uncontrollably, where I was like, oh, I'll pay this credit card bill off as long as I'm, you know, just don't have any interest payments. But I was, you know, I was blasting through all my savings. I was about to get married. That was the real thing that brought me back into DA. So if I step back, I first came into DA I want to honestly, like 2007, I was a baby. I thought I was just illiterate with money. And then I joined a group called Step Sponsor DA, which eventually became a daily phone call that exists today because it was centered in the big book. And I realized what my problem was. It was a lack of power, and specifically around incurring unsecured debt. So I really needed to have a strong step one. And it wasn't that I just had money problems or that I was financially illiterate. I ran the whole gamut. I've done under-earning, I've done compulsive spending, whatever kind of symptom, it always led back to taking out a debt that did not have any collateral or not paying bills on time or stealing. And I needed to stop that. I needed to one day at a time be willing because I had no other solution. And when I got clear on that and found out that this program, that my disease rather is twofold, that there's a biological, like that dopamine hit when an alcoholic takes a sip of alcohol or whatever kind of other substance addiction, when I incur new unsecured debt through either a credit card or student loans, those are the two main ones for me.
5 minutes.
Thank you. I just can't stop. And even when I am solvent and completely abstinent, my mind tells me, do it again, despite the fact that I have almost risked my life. I've almost been homeless because of it. So I needed to know that this was a crazy, seemingly hopeless disease without a higher powers intervention. And I had no concept back then, but I came to believe, right? I didn't have to believe in God. I didn't have to, be like a spiritual guru in step two, but it was like, all right, my way doesn't work. I can't do this alone, right? And I'm not bad because of it. I wouldn't call someone with a disease or cancer bad. I just, I just needed to be willing and surrender. And when I was able to put my will down and try to, day by day, take the next right action, go to those meetings, make 3 phone calls a day, go to Step Sponsor DA. It was very powerful. And the beauty of step four, in my opinion, to the big book was it was fast, efficient, and I could go deep, but my perfectionism would always want to stop me. And I just needed to get it done so I can do my amends, feel right with the world. And what it led to was for me getting back in touch with music. So I started off in the sciences. I'm still in the sciences, but to me, my higher power lives in music. And my father passed in 2010. And there was a lot of, you can't sing, you can't do this in my childhood that was very traumatic that led to the I'm not good enough. And I eventually found a career, a very fulfilling career, being of service as a music therapist. And there's something of great power and great awe in being in a choir, not just my voice, but with 100 voices. So all of these different iterations of the God of my understanding, even as an agnostic and sometimes teetering on an atheist, it was really just, wow, when I let go of my self-will, was willing to be teachable and take, I took the steps that was asked of me as laid out in the big book. Did my PRG right with my step four, because that was kind of like an inventory of my numbers, not just only my fears and resentments and sex conduct, but my money conduct. Took a step five with my PRG. I continue to look at step 6 and 7 with my step 10s and especially step 11s every day. If I do step 10 enough, if I take inventory in the moment when I spot the selfishness, my step 11s go faster in the morning and the evening, but I need to maintain that. Life beyond my wildest dreams. Like I would have never thought that I would have come from almost being homeless to being able to pay for a very, very expensive PhD solvently, sanely, and having a relationship like that I couldn't even handle. It was very, very, very powerful. And it's why I really love working through the steps in the big book and applying it to our program specifically, even though I'm not an alcoholic. So if there are any newcomers out there, I had no idea what a higher power is or was to me. But when I just was willing to work the steps because I just had no better way, it slowly came and it's continuing to come to me, especially in this pandemic. I'll try to end on this note. I'm a woman of color. I work as a frontliner in the Bronx at a Bronx Children's Hospital. And in the peak of the pandemic, when I was seeing 500 plus people just die every day, thank you. I needed something greater to believe in. And today, my 11th steps look like really getting in touch with my ancestors that I was completely numb to. And questioning, is this a legacy burning? This, you know, I'm just questioning my career role in the job that I have now. I'm very clear that my higher power for me includes music, for me personally. And I can make a living solvently as a musician, as an artist in New York City. And I just continue to keep working and being of service to have that personality change to come from what am I going to get out of this, especially rewards points on a credit card or letters after my name, to how can I be of service is a dramatically different life. And all I have to do is work the steps. Very simple, not always easy. And the beauty is that we have a fellowship and a beautiful program, a life program, a way of living that can support us all. So with that, I thank you all for allowing me to be here. If you'd like to contact me, my email, it's on my 12-step email. I put it with my name, moongully@gmail.com. For those of you on the phone, that's moon, M-O-O-N. G is in Gary, U is in under, L is in love, Y is in yes, @gmail.com. And I'm happy to be of service, sit on a PhD, that sort of thing. Thank you. And I pass to Sierra.
Wow. Thank you so much. Okay. So our next speaker will be Sierra.
My name's Sierra and I'm a business owner, debtor, and under earner. I also have a myriad of other programs as I'm a big problem to myself, but thank you, the two of you, for your extraordinary shares. Both were processes that were completely different and completely enthralling. It's extraordinary to, I love hearing people's paths and I love hearing how they walk into and through this program and into and through recovery. One of the things that I didn't come into DA until I had a fair amount of time in AA. And I there was a woman in BDA that was working a step a month. And I said, I want to work a step a month with you. And she said, okay, but here's the deal. When it comes to step two, you may not use the word sanity or insanity because you are way too dramatic and it's absolutely tiresome. So you need to be restored to wholeness. And I was absolutely horrified because I thought that meant that I was going to be restored to boredom. And the interesting thing that had happened was my brother had died of AIDS. And and I became his executor and I was an absolute nightmare with money, finances, numbers, keeping track of things. And he was not a debtor. He was not in DA. He was an AA because he was my Eskimo. But the truth was his will and his information was so generously and kindly presented that I could do what was necessary to do to take care of his business. And it made it really, really clear to me that I needed help financially in every conceivable way. And when Lila told me, she was not my sponsor, she said, you're gonna find a sponsor that's right for you. You're way too tiresome for me to work with, but here's the deal. You're going to be restored to wholeness and this will do it. And strangely enough, I had been, because of the drama, I had been in conflict about the word God, about the opinion about atheists and agnostics, about people talking about whatever they talked about in terms of higher powers. And when she said, you will need to be restored to wholeness, what she did in effect was put me in the middle. And my sponsor said to me, I said, I don't believe in an anthropomorphic God, and I've been fighting this battle for all of my recovery thus far. And she said, that's all right, you're gonna find your way. But she said, here's the deal. Did you have any problems growing up with higher powers, gods, churches, religion, or anything? And I went, absolutely not. She said, then any battle you have about higher powers is your drama. So cut it out. And you need to find a power greater than yourself that can restore you to wholeness and can hold you. And I remember I was, at the time, I was working for this couple who were in the throes of their alcoholism, and I was beginning my recovery as a DA, a Business Debtors Anonymous person, because I am an artist, and therefore I am my own business. And I remember they were having a battle, and it was really a nightmare. And I said, I've got to get out of here. So I went from the top, I live in Los Angeles, I went from the top of Mulholland all the way down to the beach, which is about 25 miles. And I stood at the edge of the beach in my shoes and yelled, stop. And the water filled my shoes. And I realized, okay, nature in all its forms is a power greater than me. I'll stand here for now. Recovery in all its forms is a power greater than me. I will stand here now. And then I realized that everyone believes. It doesn't matter what they believe in. If they're agnostic, they believe agnostically. If they're atheist, they believe atheistically. If they believe DA works, then they believe wholeheartedly, or they're becoming to believe. But because I had, you know, it was drama for me to do battle about, I like this person's higher power, or I like that person's higher power, or what. I came to believe that people believe what brings them solace. And that was the most encouraging thing to begin to get over my obstacles that I was piling in the way.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And then there's language that, you know, people speak about the spiritual aspect of recovery. I do not believe there's an aspect. I think it's body, mind, and spirit. And I believe it's whole, and every element of it is spiritual. And therefore, my feelings, even if I think I might, if I could label myself not connected, it's part of recovery. So it's part, it is part and parcel of spirituality. As my sponsor says to me, remember, progress feels like shit. You have never lived there before. It's alarming as all hell. You're way out over the edge and you don't know it. It feels, you can choose to feel you're disconnected. It's just your first time there. Or maybe your 101st time there, in my case. But then I realized what I wanted was something that hold me, that I could hold on to. And I came to believe that my higher power is swirling atoms, that which connects us. Therefore, I am never disconnected. I'm always connected to everything that's going on. I can choose to see it or not. I can choose to be affected or not. I can choose to disregard it because it doesn't apply to me, when in fact it really does, or not. My overriding character obstacle is inconvenience. And in this lockdown, I am getting to see my exclusionary practices, my impatience, my unwillingness to look at things, my not doing stuff because I might get in traffic on a very shallow level. But every morning I walk on the beach with my two small pets. Well, Otis doesn't walk on the beach anymore, but Flowerpot does. And I pick up trash and I find treasures that I use in my art. And I see the beauty every single morning. I see the slight pinkness in the sky. I see the clouds. I see the birds that stand with bird shadows. I see the flying pelicans, which are my favorite bird. And I can help the beach and help the sea and help the us all humans and have my heart open increasingly. I came into recovery with only one person on the planet, and that was me. Recovery, I have a friend who says 95% of his recovery happens without his permission. And over time, what has happened is that people have been increasingly included in my life. And there are people I don't like or have opinions about. And if I talk to them, I find out I like them enormously. There are opinions I have that are absolutely useless, but it's an activity. I fight with people who aren't present, which is also an activity, and it can ruin the beauty of the walk on the day. And I have to keep returning myself to swirling atoms. That's which connects us. I am connected to everything I have an opinion about. And here's the other thing. All these people I fight with about stuff, I'm almost always do it myself. So these are the red flags in my life that say, look here, this needs to change. And what this pandemic has done for me when I've been sent to my room is it has allowed me to see what has been repeating itself over and over and over and over. And it's been inconvenient, so I've been able to disregard it. And it's provoking changes that will ease my heart.
1 minute.
Thank you very much. Ease my impatience and bring me closer to all of you and bring me closer to recovery. I love being in recovery. I love the life it's given me. I love the fact that it's reattached me to the ridiculosity of my childhood. And I can stand in who I am in a way I never could before. And the 12 steps of recovery sort me out daily. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Sierra. Thank you. And thank you for all three. Thank you, Sierra, Benjamin, and Annie, for stepping up and speaking. Thank you.